2015, and it may be the case for you. If so, just raise your hand. It was a tough year. I mean, right? Am I the only one? Gosh, I hope not. It was a tough, tough year. And, I see what the Lord is doing in and among us, and I'm so thankful. And we were discussing this in Sunday school. So thankful that we are a part of what God wants to do. Not just inside these doors, but also in a wider, when I say a wider community, I mean our town, right? In our state, in Costa Rica, Lord willing, in Nolens. Is that how you say it? Somebody? Nolens? New Orleans? In Nolens? However the Lord wants to move. And, our Sunday school classes met. Almost stepped on somebody's computer up here. I'm sorry. I'll push it back a little bit. You're welcome. We met a few weeks ago and just praying about how the Lord wants to, how He wants to use us, right? The two Sunday school classes, both Clay and I. And so I'm really excited about 2016. I don't have a New Year's resolution. Well, I guess I resolved to not make one. That would be one. But we may have a resolution. I mean, when you think about what the word means, what a resolution is, I'm resolved to do something. Jonathan Edwards had several of them, whom I look to and respect very much as a pastor. He made many resolutions. You can go and read them right now. Not right now, but maybe later. To make a resolution is just, I'm going to set my mind to do something, right? I'm going to seek something out. I am resolved to do something. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by this world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are pure, these have allured my sight, right? You remember that hymn? I love that hymn. I'm so amazed that I remembered that. That's praise the Lord. I'm thankful for that. But it is my pleasure to stand and proclaim the Word of God today. I do hope your new year is going to be spiritually fruitful for you and your family. And I am delighted to see how the Lord's going to do it. And I know we've got a lot of pain and trials going on. I mean, we've got a funeral for a young baby that we've cared for many, many years now coming up. Many, many funerals in our recent history. We don't take this lightly. We don't just glibly pass over these things. We embrace those people, right? We embrace those times. And we say it's because of the grace of God given to us that we can endure through those trials. Not ignoring them, we endure through them. And we worship God even among those trials. I have been walking through the book of Colossians about the last part of 2015. In our Sunday school class, we're going to start going through Colossians. So I would ask you just go ahead and turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. And you may recall from Paul in Colossians chapter 2, he had an exhortation against false teachers, right? So many, many months ago, we talked about how in the cross, God answered the sin problem, and He did so by setting some things aside. Remember, we had a box up here, an imaginary box, and that was in our way, but He set that aside. But then last time, we looked at Paul's exhortation against false teachers and misguided regulations, even paganism. And Paul was saying, look, don't be subjected to those things. He was saying, be subjected to the Holy Spirit and to God's will. So chapter 3 then becomes, and we're only going to look at 4 verses. I know that's hard to believe because I normally look at like 40 verses, but we're going to look at 4 verses, and that's chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And this is an encouragement from Paul for Christians to live that Christ-like life. I know that's a mouthful. Christians to live that Christ-like life as a result of true faith in Christ. So this is not an exhortation to the non-believer in order, you know, to say, hey, you need to straighten up so that you can be saved. No, 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 no. This is an exhortation to believers who believe in faith to say, this is what I want for you. You see the difference? In other words, now that you have believed in Christ, Paul is saying, now that this is already true of you, this is what your life will be like. Or this is what your life should be like. It will be like Jesus. I know that sounds cliche. It will be like Jesus. Because true faith or true belief, which is the same word, in Christ equals a Christ-likeness. That's what it means to be a Christian. Christ-likeness. A book, G.K. Beale, the title of it was, You Will Be Like What You Worship, or something similar to that. In other words, you will become like the thing or the person that you worship. You will become like the thing that you love. The thing that you worship, that's what you will start to look like. That's what we're saying. So let's read Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, and then we're going to look at some things in there as well as some other scriptures that I have lined up for us. So Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul writes, If then, there's why I say all of this, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. And so the beauty of God's Word here is that we are directed to Christ. We see in verse 1 that this person believing in Christ is defined by Paul's words. If then you have been raised with Christ. Now what are we assuming in that? What are we assuming if you have been raised with Christ? Well, it also means that you have died with Christ. Does this make sense? In order to be raised with Christ, you must have first died with Christ. So this denotes, it also denotes the resurrection. Not the final resurrection, but the immediate resurrection. What do I mean by that? Well, Romans 6 verse 4, you can turn there if you want to. Let me read it. It says, We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So even in the Christian life right now, this is 2016, even in the Christian life right now, there is a resurrection mindset. There is a new life mindset. There is no longer an old self mindset. And Paul makes that distinction in Corinthians, right? As he's writing to the Corinthian church. There is no longer an old man. There is an old man, but that is what we by faith put to death. And so in Romans 6 verse 4, and again here in Colossians chapter 3, he is saying, you have died with Christ. And therefore, you are raised with Christ. And this newness of life that we're talking about, it's unlike anything you had ever experienced before. Are you with me? You could not live this life. That's something I need to put in my hand here. You could not live this life prior to knowing Christ. And so you've just had Christmas dinner and New Year's Eve dinner with family members who are not believers, right? You cannot expect them to live the way you live because they are not believers. They do not believe in Jesus. They cannot live this life. And you cannot live this life except by faith in the Son of God. So are you finding it hard to walk in 2016, to walk as a Christian? Are you trying to do it in your own power? I've tried to do it in my own power. You know what happened? I got a bloody nose because I fell flat on my face because I can't do it in Eric Linton's power. I have to trust that God is going to do it in me through the Holy Spirit's power. And so when He says, if then you have been raised with Christ, the next words are, seek the things that are above. How do we do that? We do that by faith. So this newness of life, that's what's implied in this verse. It's like the new year, right? This newness of life. Doesn't the air seem lighter and fresher out today? Didn't it seem a little bit, I mean, when it got down from like 80 degrees on Wednesday, which was atrocious to me, and I was wanting a cold new year. Didn't it seem a little bit fresher when it got cold? All the hunters in the room were like, I could just hear you grumbling, it's hot, couldn't wear the camo. But even in your extended family, you've experienced some unbelievers. You've experienced people who have come alongside you who are not believers. And it's hard to tell them, you need to do this. And even that's what I'm facing even now, and I confess that to you. Having to talk about Christ, having to, you know, say this is what the Bible says to people who might even think they are believers, but don't do it by faith. Even during this time of trial and loss, you who have believed in Christ, believed with Christ, what is to be the focus of our life now? What is to be this newness of life? What are we to be? What is our resolve in this new year? The greatest resolution then is found in verse 1, to seek. Look at these words that he writes here. He uses two different words. One is zateo and one is phroneo. Seek and set your minds. Seek the things that are above. Set your mind on the things that are above. He says those, you see the same phrases there. They're almost the exact same words. One says seek the things that are above. One says, set your mind on the things that are above. He writes that for emphasis. This seeking and setting our mind upon things applies only to these believers. Those who have believed in Jesus by faith, by grace through faith. And I highlight this point because the non-believer cannot please God. And some of you hear that and you're, whoa, wait a second. The non-believer cannot please God. Your unbelieving family and friends do not please God. Let me show you where I'm getting this from. If we tell non-believers to act like Christians, then it equates to a works-based salvation. Do you see that? If what you are telling your non-believing friends, hey, you just need to do this, or you need to be better, what you're telling them to do is to try and earn their salvation. And you are nothing more than teaching a false gospel. Okay? I know that's hard to swallow. So how do we correct our own, I'm talking to us, I'm talking to my friends. How do we correct our message? How do we truly say to that person, this is what has to happen? Well, we take them to Christ. We take them to a grace-based salvation, not a works-based salvation. To the end of the earth with this works-based salvation stuff. Let me reiterate this. Non-believer plus acting like a Christian still equals a non-believer. The non-believer, person A, who does not believe unto faith in Christ, will not seek the things that are above. They will not set their minds on the things that are above. They don't want to. Because if they have done something to, quote unquote, look good before God, then those are the things that they're going to keep on walking in. Because that makes them feel good. It makes them look good. Do you see the difference? So the person B who believes in Christ, has been raised with Christ, will seek the things that are above. The person A, who is the non-believer, will not seek the things that are above. They are going to seek the things that are on the earth because that is what pleases them. Scripture declares that this is impossible. They cannot set their minds on the things that are above. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible. You know this verse, right? And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and rewards those who seek Him. So without faith in Christ is actually what he's pointing to. Without faith in Christ, it is impossible to please God. The people that do not believe in God do not please God. This seeking word that's in Hebrews 11:6 is similar, not the same, just a little different, than Colossians 3 word. That is, Hebrews 11:6 is kind of a seek out. So the believing, or the faith person, will seek the things that are above. They will set their minds upon those things. Is this starting to sound like a New Year's resolution? I didn't intend it. I honestly didn't. I just kind of happened upon Colossians chapter 3. It was in the, like, we literally just finished Colossians chapter 2 in my preaching. So Colossians chapter 3 was next, and it just happened to fall on New Year's Day. I don't make this stuff up. Neither does Tommy. We don't plan this stuff. We just follow the Lord's leading. So it's starting to sound a little bit like a New Year's resolution. Or I'm sorry, less and less like a New Year's resolution and more like a description of the believer. Just wait longer. It's not something that we can do. It's something that is done in us. Does that make sense? Because we have believed in Jesus, we seek the things that are above. How do we explain the word seek? And I was trying to think of the word seek. What, you know, you come across these churches that are like, oh, we're a seeker-friendly church. Oh, we want to seek, you know, I was trying to think, I was like, what in the world? And then I thought about this game I used to play. The greatest game of all time. How many of you know what I'm thinking of? Hide and seek. Praise God for that game. Praise God for hide and seek. And inside this greatest game of all, now this game is played on every continent. It is played, I am convinced that every person in the world, which as of like 10 o'clock today was probably like we up to 8 gazillion people in the world now. However many, I'm sure everybody has played the game hide and seek. And when you, just as I said that, you thought about the greatest game you ever had of hide and seek. Man, I remember that time I was hiding and you know, it's the greatest hiding spot. Hide and seek, the greatest game of all. And inside this game comes the greatest expression of all time. The greatest gaming expression of all time. Say it with me. 1, 2, 3. Ready or not? Here I come. There it is. You got it. Oh, man.
gets me fired up to play hide and seek. 1, 2, 3, ready or not, here I come. This is, so unwittingly, you thought about your greatest hiding spot ever, right? Greatest hiding spot I ever had was right out in the open. Is that the church that I went to growing up? And they had this little light, and it stood about yay tall, and I was about yay tall. Well, the light would kind of cascade up at the front of the church, right? So, like these little lights we have out here. Well, I would just stand right behind that light, you know, and nobody could see me because I was hiding behind this light, because the people who were out there kind of running around were out in front of the light. And so I'd just wait for them to go out. I'd walk right to base. Best hiding spot ever. No one ever knew where I was. Then that person hiding has the person seeking, right? So you got this hider and the seeker. And the one seeking, the hider, then declares that that person is tag your what? Tag, you're it. Whatever it was, I don't know. Whatever it was, you're it. Well, then it became, at least for us, and these are the ruffians I grew up around, then it became, oh, you barely got my shirt with one hand. That's not really a true tag. So then it became two-handed tag. And then whatever it was, if you didn't have a face full of dirt, you weren't it. Because it became two-handed tag, I'm going to tackle you, and now you're it. So it was the person like laying on the ground, you know, kind of shaking in the fetal position. That's who was it. Greatest game ever played. So why do I highlight this game? Well, I just love this game, and I want to say that this is what Paul was describing with that earnest seeking that the people of God are to be doing right now. And it's that 2016, we are the people of God. We want to seek truly and earnestly what the Lord has for us to do. Just like I would find those people hiding wherever they were, that is the earnest seeking that I do. So hide and seek, greatest game ever. Paul declares that the focus of our seeking, look at chapter 3, verse 1. The focus of our seeking is the things that are above. Now, what does he say immediately after the things that are above in verse 1? Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Do you see that verse? So this implies two truths. Number one, he is sitting down. It's completed work. How many of you come home after work or school and sit down? What's that feeling like? It's completed action. He completed something. He did the work he was intended to do. He completed the work of salvation. So that's the sitting down part. And then the right hand of God part. What does this imply? Number two, the right hand of God is the highest universal honor possible. The creator of all the world. And again, in Colossians chapter 1, remember going back way, way far back in Colossians chapter 1, he's saying creation, it was created by Him and for Him, and all things hold together in Him, Colossians chapter 1. So this sitting down at the right hand of God, Paul is saying this is His honor. This is what it means for Christ to have completed His work. He sits down at the right hand of God. I looked up this word seeking in the BDAG. It says to devote serious effort to realize one's desire or objective to possess something. Those are the things we seek. What do you want for 2016? What do you think the Lord wants for you in 2016? It's to seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And how? What does this seeking mean? It means to devote serious effort. It's an intentional devotion, it's the serious effort to realize this desire or objective, to possess that, to know Christ more. J.I. Packer wrote a book years ago called Knowing God. John Piper wrote a book called Desiring God. Those are all true statements. Those are the things that we must do in 2016 if we are believers. So, what is our Christ-like resolution? It's to seek the things that are above, not earthly things. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We also set our minds on those things. You've heard that phrase before, right? Similar expression in Romans. I'm sorry, that's a little bit later on. To set our minds on something. The second phrase, set our mind on something, expands and emphasizes this first point. It's that important to seek and set your mind on the things that are above. Not on the elemental base things of the world. And that's what we talked about last thing. And the prior truth is that the person who is raised with Christ has also died with Him. That's what he's saying. Look at verse 3. He says, no person can be united with Christ until they have died a death like Christ. We mean by faith, the dying to self. Verse 3, he says, for you have died and your life... Here's the hide and seek part. You ready? For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You want to combat depression? You want to combat personal struggles? Realize that your life is hidden with Christ in God. Not that you have to run, you know, not that you have to do this life in your own power, but the resolution is to hide yourself in Christ, with Christ in God. Let me read to you Galatians 2:20. This is another way that Paul said it in another passage. He says, for I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. There's that word. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So this seeking, this thinking about, this setting our mind upon is absolutely, resolutely done in faith in the Son of God. So if you get out there and try and do it on your own, in your own power, what's going to happen? You're going to fall flat on your face. You can't do it in the flesh. It has to be done in faith. Remember our Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So first, and here is the resolution. You want a resolution this year? Be hidden in Christ. Hide and seek. Be hidden in Christ. Let this be your prayer. Lord, help me. Lord, hide me. Envelop me in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. Then you make no provision for the flesh. Get rid of those sins that easily entangle you. Romans 13:14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Tommy's going to talk about that or preach through that in about 10 years. We're going through Romans and we're at what, chapter 2? So in 10 years we'll be studying chapter 13. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Leave no room for it. Don't leave room for the flesh. You want to know how to walk as a Christian? Are you struggling with sin? I mean, literally struggling with sin. You have sin in your life. You don't want it there, and so you're praying that God take it away from you. We can be honest with one another. We're in a church. We can be honest. You have sin that you want to be rid of. Make no provision for those things. Find what it is that's that's causing you to stumble, and get rid of it. Burn it. Throw it in the ocean. Whatever it takes. Don't you think that this short span of life that we have, this short time, I mean, the oldest among us might be 80 years old right now, 80, 82 years old. That's not a lot of time. Hey, I just passed 35 years. It's not a lot of time. I don't have time to make provision for the flesh. We have ministry to be doing. So what do we pray? We pray that God hides us in Himself. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings," you had something that clings, just can't get rid of it. "It clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before Him, endured the cross, despising its shame," and listen to this part, "and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." That's where we be seeking. You want a resolution for this year? Pray that the Lord hides you in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. Hey, if you've never done that before, if you've never asked for the Lord to save your soul, now is the time. Well, in just a minute. I mean, you can do it now, like right now where you're sitting. Verse 3, Paul writes, "For you have died with Christ in faith. Your life is hidden in Him." Your life is wrapped up, just like one of those Christmas presents. I had some Christmas presents I wrapped up. I thought they looked pretty good. I had them all wrapped nice and neat, had a little bow on top of them. Stephanie's shaking her head, yeah. I can never get it just right. I kind of fold one in and then, you know, push it down in there and wrap the top, tape it up real quick, put a bow on it. That's how I do my Christmas wrapping. "That your life is hidden with Him, your life is wrapped up into His salvation purposes. Pray that you exist for Him." I mean, it's like this old hymn, God help me. He says, "Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in Thee. Let the water and the blood from Thy wounded side which flowed be for sin a double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure." Do you see that? Christ, hide me. Be my salvation today. I mean, do you want that? Do you want that for 2016? I'm getting emotional too, brother. I can't help it. I'm like you. Do you want that? Do you want to be hidden with Christ in God? Look at what he says here. "For you have died with Christ, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Now, this is beautiful. Just like this game of hide and seek, the best hiding spot is one that is never revealed. You never give that info away. You never give away your hiding spot. You don't, in the middle of the game, come out to be seen by everybody, to give it away. The same thing is true in this Christian walk. You stay put right where you are. You stay hidden in Christ. And look at what he says there. when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. This is the greatest news ever. Jesus will appear again here soon. I prayed about it today. Let it be today. Paul writes that because in faith we have died, now we live in Christ, the future for believers is a glory that has yet to be revealed. This glory, it's a part of salvation, it's glorification. It will be revealed when Christ returns. Number one, what has been hidden will be revealed. Number two, what has been broken will be healed. This is the believer's hope. We don't hope in earthly things. My gosh, if we hoped, what would this Christian life look like if we hoped in earthly things? If all I could say to you this morning was, hey, all you need to do is smile. That's garbage. Do you hear me? It's atrocious. All you need to do is trust in Christ. But in faith, believe Him that you are hidden with Him. And one day when Christ appears, which is our hope, then your life will appear with Him in glory. You will appear. That's the final stage. It is the appearing of the Son of Man. This is the bodily resurrection. Because it might be that you die. Again, we've had some people to pass away recently. But in the resurrection, we will see them again. Those people who have gone on before you, who are believers, you will see them again. So now we are hidden. Then our life eternal will appear with Him in glory. This is the hope that Paul wants to assure us of. It gives strength to pursue, strength to seek, strength to persevere, strength to love others. Hey, it's hard to love the Lentons. I know that. I have to live with some of them. It's hard to love the Bretts. I know. I have to love some of them. It is hard to love some of the Rosses. I know. We have to love some of them. We are not perfect people. The hope that we have is simple. It's very, very simple. We are hidden with Christ in God. One day He will appear again, and then we will be glorified. If I know that that is true, and I believe that by faith, it makes it easier to love you. It makes it easier to persevere through trials. It makes it easier to console one another when we lose other people. We prayed about this just this morning. God, give our pastor the words to speak to console a family who has lost a child. Where's the hope in that? Where's the hope in that? It's in the resurrection. It's not here, it's there. It's not now, it's then. It's later. It's down the road. It's deferred. It is our hope in the life won for us. That's true, and it is. How does this life hidden in Christ look today? What are we going to do? It's 11:30. What are we going to do at 12 o'clock? What's our life going to look like at 12 o'clock? What's it going to be marked by? Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, love, loving one another. I got those from further down in Colossians, and I would encourage you to read verses 5 and following when you get home. All of those things are true. Paul says, seeking the things that are above means putting away some things. Malice, envy, strife, hatred. He says all those things in Colossians 3. Then he says it also means putting on something else, taking this on. Love, compassion, kindness, humility. Taking on those things. But we do this shrouded in prayer. We pursue the glory of God among all peoples. That's what we talked about in our Sunday school class. Let 2016 be a year, and I'm going to say this word, and I want you to think about this word and this phrase later on and go back and read it in the New Testament and see what I'm talking about. Let it be a year of jubilee for you. I'm not talking about, you know, your breakthrough year. You know, you realize what I'm talking about. You've heard that before. Let this be your breakthrough year. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the true gospel, God-centered, jubilant praise of His name in 2016. Let it be a year of jubilee for you and your family. A year of shouting, not the angry shouting, joyful shouting. A year of singing, of praising, of giving. I wrote down dancing too. I do want us to pray. I want us to pray right now. And I don't normally ask this because I don't like to do, I don't, you know, this call to action stuff. I'm not very good at it. But I am going to ask you to do something. If you're willing, I want us to pray right now together. I want us to flood this place with prayers. We were reading in Revelation that this elder had this bowl and it was full of the prayers of the saints in Revelation chapter 5. Fill that bowl up. That's what 2016 should be about. I want us to pray right now. I'd like for us to flood this altar. If you're lost, I'm going to ask that you go to a separate place with Tommy. If you are not a believer and you know who you are, the time to seek Christ, to turn to Him in faith, is right now. Don't wait. If that's true of you, as we come to pray, just come over here to this front section and sit down. I'll meet you there. So let the people who are lost among us turn to Christ. Turn in faith to Christ. Let the believers turn in faith to Christ in prayer. Let's, as a church, put away the sackcloth and ashes that we have been wearing for a while. Let's put this thing aside. Let's move forward as a church. We're going to be talking with you about what that looks like in the near future. Moving forward. So let's come right now. Come and pray. Come join me in prayer. I'm going to open us. I'm going to close us. But I want you to come this morning, if you're able, to this altar, to these benches, and pray. Come now.